but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Going on with Cal football in particular, maybe basketball as well. Stanford and Cal kind of had a bad week collectively. Jeff Ferrato, Sports Illustrated, covers the Cal Bears. He's done it for a long time at a high level. Friend of this show, terrific reporter and writer joining us now. You talked to Ron Rivera today? You get any answers?
Yes, and maybe. I don't know. He said a lot. A lot of it was the same. The two main questions that Cal fans down here have about their program is who's in charge? And clearly, he made a point that he's clearly in charge, that he reports only to the chancellor and that he has the authority to hire and fire and make decisions like at that level. That's pertinent because a couple of heavy hitter donors wanted to hear that. They weren't happy. They weren't going to be happy unless he had some authority over Justin Wilcox. And now, that's not to suggest that he's ready to get rid of Justin, because I think they're getting along pretty well. But he will have, at the right time, the authority to make a change if he feels it's necessary. He just needs to sell it to the chancellor, and he thinks the chancellor trusts him. So the second thing is obviously what you referred to, which is the exodus on the transfer portal. And Cal lost 11 or 12 players in the last 7 or 8 days to the portal. Probably half of them don't matter much. They might not have fit inside the roster limit of 105 that they'll have going into next season anyway. But they lost 5 running backs, which is almost their entire stable of running backs. And one of them, of course, is Jaden Ott, who is their star player. And they also lost his backup. Javian Thomas, who was pretty good last year as a sophomore when Ott was injured and hardly could play. And then they lost their tight end, who was the leading receiver on the team last year. So they suffered some losses. Now, what Rivera told us today was, everybody's losing players right now. And they've got a plan, and they're trying to raise enough money to have enough to make this work. We'll see if that's the case. He pretty much admitted that with Jaden Ott, who was going to Oklahoma, that there are programs that were able to outbid them. So that's probably the case in that situation. I'm not sure. We haven't heard from Jaden, so we don't really know. First of all, we don't know how much money he got, but we also don't know exactly why he decided to leave. So they changed running backs coaches, and he got along really well with Aristotle Thompson, and he's gone. I'm sure that didn't make him happy, but I don't know that that was the sole reason why he left. So,
give me an idea, Jeff. The Brian Harsin, Nick Rolovich involvement, is there any personality issue, or is this just about money at Cal? And I know they're having problems in basketball, too, so I think I know the answer, but I'd love to hear it from somebody who's plugged in.
Yeah, I think it's the latter. I don't think we know Harsin and Rolovich here well enough to know if it's going to work or if it's a good idea. They don't seem like Berkeley kind of guys, if you know what I mean, right? But Harsin has a great track record at Boise State. It didn't go very well for him at Auburn, but he's an offensive coordinator here. Ron Rivera today made mention of him and said he's really excited about what they're going to do, on offense. He likes the varied things they'll approach it, the way they'll approach it. Justin Wilcox has been happy with what they're doing. And Rolovich is kind of playing a secondary role. He's more of an advisor. This is very much Harsin's deal. Now Harsin has to figure out, you know, where's the running back going to be? But they've got three quarterbacks who competed all the way through fall camp or through spring camp. And one of them you guys know up there is Jaron Sagapoletelli, the transfer who started at Cal, went to Oregon. He's back at Cal. You know, he's got a great arm. He's talented as all get out, but he didn't always make great decisions. But that's what you'd expect because he should be in high school still. They got a transfer from Ohio State, Devin Brown, who was the backup the last 2 years. And then they've got the returning kid who will be a redshirt freshman, E.J. Kamenong from up in Seattle, who didn't get to play at all last year until the bowl game. And then he was thrust into the game early when the starter got hurt. You'll remember that they lost Fernando Mendoza after the regular season, their starter. So they were sort of scrambling, and E.J. didn't have a good game at all. But, you know, he was thrust into an impossible situation, it wasn't solely his fault. But he's competed really well in the spring. They're happy with him. And they have no sort of pecking order on this thing. They're going to let it play out through fall camp, probably because they don't want any of them to leave, you know.
Jeff Ferrato is with us, co-publisher of Cal Bears on Sports Illustrated, longtime reporter and writer there covering Cal in Berkeley. Jeff, bigger problems in football, basketball, is it under the same umbrella as you view it? Where's the real concern right now in the fan base?
Well, you know, they lost the two best players in basketball. Wilkinson went home to Georgia. He was a better freshman than anybody expected. You know, I don't think they saw that coming necessarily, that he was going to be as good as he was. He was excellent. The last 14 games, once he got put in the starting lineup, he averaged almost 20 points a game. And so, you know, all of a sudden he's a pretty high visible player on the market for the transfer portal. And so he went to Georgia. And Andre Stojakovic, who started off at Stanford a year ago, had a terrific season at Cal. He averaged 18 points for the season, and he does a lot of things for them. He's their best player for sure. And he's now entered the portal as well. And I'm presuming it's strictly a money thing because, you know, he played well. I think he gets along with Mark Madsen. I'm not sure anybody doesn't get along with Mark Madsen. So I think on the basketball front, it's strictly money. And football, in both cases, I guess, with football and basketball, another factor could be I want to play on a team that's going to go to the postseason, and neither of them. You know, Cal's been in a bowl game the last 2 years in football, but they were lower-level bowl games. They lost them both. They finished 6-7 both years, and that's not what they want. And, you know, and if you're Jay Knott, maybe you want to go behind a better offensive line and have big numbers and, you know, become a reasonably high draft choice a year from now. And Stojakovic is probably not ready to be in the NBA yet. He's not quite strong enough, but he's a skilled player. Wilkinson is a lefty, but he's strong, and he's got a underdeveloped game, but he's an athlete, and he can score, and he's quick and strong. So, you know, they're going to miss those two guys, but, you know, they're going to rebuild that. I think football is the bigger issue. You know, it's always going to be the bigger issue because there's so many more people involved. They've got to get offensive and defensive linemen that are up to snuff to compete in the ACC, and it's the same problem they had in the Pac-12, you know. They often have skill guys, but that doesn't really matter if you can't block and tackle. They've had great defensive backs. They've had great receivers. They've had some terrific quarterbacks, as recently as the number one pick in Jared Goff. But they haven't always been good in the trenches, and that's what they need to do. So they're going to have to figure out a way to do that, either with the money they can spend now or maybe Harsin's offense attracts people. I'm not sure. But they're a long ways from being where they want to be.
The Justin Wilcox temperature on his hot seat or his warming seat, or maybe it's not at all because people understand what's going on. How important is this season for him in your mind?
I think it's pretty important. The chancellor has come right out and said, you know, we're investing a lot in football. We think it's important for the entire campus and certainly for the entire athletic department that football is successful. He says, you know, a 500 season isn't good enough. And that's kind of what they've been for a while now. They have not had a winning season since 2019, which is kind of hard to believe. He's coached longer at Cal than any coach with a losing record they've ever had. Now, the flip side of that is they've been competitive almost all the time. They've lost a lot of close games. Their defense has been very good most times. I think people respect him. I think they look at Justin and they say, this is the right kind of guy we like. He stands for a lot of good things. He just needs to win more. I think they'd like to make it work for him. They gave him a long contract, and he's still got a couple years left on that, and they probably prefer not to have to pay that off. But there is a segment of the Cal fan base that's had it with him, and there's other people who get it and understand, you know, if you're going to fire him, who are you going to get that's better? And so, you know, they have not been an embarrassment. It's not been what Stanford has been the last couple of years, where they're winning three games, you know. They've been competitive. Cal was three or four plays away from having a 9-win season last year, but they didn't do it. So now they got to get over the hump.
Jeff Ferrato with us covers UC Berkeley athletics. Jeff, the Pac-12 is being rebuilt. You know, I think they're down to maybe an announcement on Wednesday with a media rights deal for 2025, and then maybe we're within a week or 2 weeks of finding out who they're adding and the deal that potentially could take them through 2032. How much interest is there or curiosity is there from people in Berkeley with what happens with the new-look Pac-12?
Well, I don't think they feel like they can afford to do it. I think, you know, I don't know what the details of that media rights deal will be, but I can't imagine it's going to be even as good as the ACC has. And the ACC, of course, is not even comparable to the SEC or the Big Ten. But, you know, financially, Cal has like 31 sports or whatever it is, and they can't, unless they're going to start cutting sports, they can't earn less than they're making now. I think most people would like to be able to have the Pac-12, you know, back the way it was. I do believe that at some point, when the next round of, you know, revolutionary change happens in college sports, and especially if, you know, if college football decides to sort of go out on its own and be a separate entity with maybe 60, 70 big schools, Cal and Stanford's job in the next few years is to be decent enough, competitive enough, that they are included in that. And if they are, well, then you could sort of imagine, you know, the Pac-12 being reconstituted in one, you know, way, shape, or form, and so that the travel is reasonable again, and so that there are rivalries that people are accustomed to. I think that's possible. It's probably not going to happen for a few years, but at some point, football is going to say, we don't need the NCAA. We can do our own thing. We can get our own playoffs. We can have our own TV contract. You know, they're going to have to dovetail with everybody's current contracts, and that's going to be complicated. But the SEC and the Big Ten are going to run this thing, especially the SEC. And then who else fits in it from the other, you know, the other power force conferences? And Cal and Stanford want to be part of that, as do all the ACC schools and all the Big 12 schools. But someone's going to get left out, and they just hope it's not them.
Jeff, before I let you go, the Stanford and Cal, we always talk about them on this show kind of together, and I know a lot of people marry those schools together. Are they still joined at the hip? I mean, could you foresee them ever saying, hey, you know what, we're going to go in different directions? Or do you just think it's Cal and Stanford, ride or die, they'll always kind of be in the same conference?
I do think that's the case. I think that they have great regard for each other and what their relationship and their rivalry has been for more than a century. I think the only exception would be if the scenario I described a few minutes ago were to come up and the big football powers went to the two schools and say, we want you, but we don't want you, whichever way that goes. And I don't know that they would do that. But if that was the case, just for pure survival, they would probably be forced to do what, you know, what they'd have to do. Short of that, I don't see them initiating anything that separates them. I think they feel like they belong together, but I also think they feel like they belong with USC and UCLA and Oregon and Washington.
And if
things get flipped again, those teams could all be playing each other again. It's just be within, instead of the NCAA, it would be within the, you know, the Power 70 college football conference or whatever they would call it, you know. So I don't see them wanting to separate. They went together to the ACC. Heck, it's still a huge rivalry, and it's really, at least for now, it's the only game they get to play where they don't have to be on a plane for 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, did the travel become a story? I mean, I know we talked about it before the football season. But, you know, did you hear about it? Did they talk? You know, and I know the Stanford guys, John Platt's over at Stanford, is one of their football broadcasters and basketball broadcasters. He said the travel was not fun for him as a broadcaster. But did you hear the football, basketball programs talking about the travel this last year?
Well, yeah. Mark Madsen said it was worse. It's worse than NBA travel. When he played for the Lakers, he said when we would go back east and have a road trip back there, we'd be back there for 10 days playing five games. And he says now you're going back there for two games, coming home, and then a week later you're going back again. I mean, it's every other week for the whole season. He's going to push for, and I think this is reasonable, and I could see it happening, he's going to push for Cal and Stanford to get to go back there during sort of that Christmas, New Year's time and have four games back there at that point, basically two trips on the same flights. And that takes at least one road trip off the books and make it a little more reasonable. And it's funny because some of the visiting coaches from the ACC would come out to Cal and they would whine about how terrible this travel was. And then they would realize they only had to make the trip once. Cal and Stanford made it five times. And, you know, it's really stressful on the kids, I'm sure, because, you know, at those two schools, as you know, they also have to go to class. And so, you know, there's all that extra stuff. And, I'm sure that was very difficult. I think they tried to put a good spin on it. They tried to act like it's going to help us with recruiting back east. But it's very unnatural and pretty weird. And I think it's worse yet for sports like, you know, imagine the softball team that has to go, you know, the Stanford softball team has to play a three-game series in Pittsburgh. And, you know, it's whatever it is, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They're probably flying out on Tuesday afternoon, Tuesday evening, and getting home at 3 in the morning, Sunday morning. It's nuts. And so I think it's been as bad or worse for some of those sports.
Jeff Ferrato, you're the best. Thanks for joining us and shedding some light on this.
My pleasure. Anytime.
There he goes. Cal and Stanford in the ACC. I think they stay there for the foreseeable future. But I think the Pac-12 is winding up here. I think there is a move coming down the pipeline. I expect there to be some news this week on the 2025 media deal for Oregon State and Washington State. And these things are they're all moving in lockstep. But here's how the dominoes are going to fall. I think that the 2025 media rights deal, I would be surprised if we get to Thursday and there's no announcement. I think it's coming in the next 48 hours. I think, you know, they were sewing it up last week. There, you know, I was told there was just one more detail that they're working on. I thought maybe there's a chance they could announce tomorrow, probably Wednesday. If you want to win a bet around your kitchen table today, say I think, you know, Oregon State and Washington State media deal will probably be announced Wednesday. That's where my mind is. And I'm told that now the 2026 and beyond deal is, you know, where all the focus is, which means there's an expansion move coming for the Pac-12 here. And, you know, again, I'll say what I said early in the show. We're about a week away from a meeting in person with the conference presidents and athletics directors. The New World Pac-12 conference presidents and ADs are meeting right around the 27th of the month, 28th. I think that could be an interesting pivot point. I think there could be a vote that day. I'm really looking into that and focused on that right now. And, you know, and again, I'm talking to the people in the room, and I slap me on the wrist if I'm wrong on Wednesday, Stephen, but I kind of think we're going to get Oregon State and Washington State announcing on Wednesday or so that their media rights deal for the upcoming football season will be the CW network, 9 games on the CW. And then, hey, here are our two other partners involved. I'm thinking Fox and TNT. Maybe it's just Fox. I that piece I'm not completely sure on. But, you know, 13 total games, 9 of them on the CW. Hey, here's the deal for 2025, and I think they're going to give us kickoff times on Wednesday. So Oregon State and Washington State fans are going to be real excited about that. All right, why don't you leave it here? We've got some parting thoughts coming up.